heart-to-heart, one-on-one. I'm going to ask no one be moving about. I believe with all my heart that God is going to visit us with his glory afresh. And I don't just say that. I believe this with all my heart. God is going to visit your life with his glory. I want you to lift your hands and thank him. It's going to happen soon. It's happened quickly. Yeah. Yeah, please. You need to sit down, honey, or do what you have to do, please. Yeah. Now, precious people, tonight, I want to help you understand what the glory of God is and how the glory of God manifests. And I want to help you understand how the power of God works in your life, because I think it's imperative we prepare ourselves for the coming days. I don't believe that God sent me here tonight by chance or accident. I really don't. Nor do I believe that the Lord is doing all he's doing with me by chance or accident. I truly believe we are on the verge of the greatest change in church history. And I'm going to say this and be bold. It will begin after the death of Billy Graham. I just got your attention. I'm saying it to all of you here and in the overflow. That is one thing I know so deep in my heart. Back in 1989, the Lord spoke to my heart very, very powerfully, right before the Crusades began, because Crusades began in March of 1990. The Lord spoke to me and said, the greatest move of the Spirit will come after the death of Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. And gave me the scripture from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, arise and possess the land. Change always happens with the death of giants. Always. In scripture and in history. I'll give you examples from present history. The charismatic movement died with the death of Catherine Kuhlman. If you look back at history, it's exactly what happened. It was the death of Catherine Kuhlman that started the word movement. If you go back before Catherine Kuhlman, the death of individuals like Amy, the death of individuals like Maria Woodworth Etter, the death of individuals like Branham brought change in the church every single time. And I don't want to bore you with details, but I've studied that, and it's true and factual. The death of giants is change, brings change. In the scripture, and we see it first with Moses. So I believe it's coming again. And this will be the last move. The last move is this coming move. And the conditions are right. The climate is right spiritually. It's all right. What's happened to the church in the last few years, the seeker-friendly movement, all that is a part of it. Because God allows the church to go into these detours to show them the emptiness of life without the power of the Spirit. So when people seek for things, they find out how empty those things really are. When Jesus is no longer the center, everything else is empty. Now, I've seen real power, not only in our ministry, but in Catherine's ministry. Most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. because you're too young probably to even know who she was. I saw Pentecost in action in her meetings. I mean, the same power, the same presence, the same miracles that took place in the book of Acts, I saw with my own eyes in Pittsburgh, in London, Ontario, in Niagara Falls, in other cities where I would go to her meetings and watched the power of God. I still remember the lady that we took on the bus who was completely twisted with arthritis. And I mean twisted. Twisted like someone took a piece of rubber and did this to it. We helped that dear lady on the bus. 2 full days from Toronto down to Pittsburgh. Young man named Al Parrichin and myself helped her up and down the bus. We were responsible to help her in her wheelchair and roll the wheelchair into restaurants and places like that. And the whole time you see this little woman like this. I mean, her legs, her arms, her neck like this. Couldn't move. We saw her untwist, I mean untwist in her seat. Sitting on the balcony looking down at the Syria Mosque, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1975, on a Good Friday in the morning. We're sitting on the balcony looking down, and we see this woman untwist in her seat. God twisting her body and perfecting it. She came up on the platform straight and perfect. I was losing it. I couldn't talk. All I could do is, that's all I could do. And if you were there, you would have done worse. I will never forget the young man. Cheryl was there. Jim Cerner was there in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We had a crusade, 100,000 people in the stadium. It rained so bad, we had to cancel the first night because nobody could stand on the ground. There was, all the wires were exposed. And the authorities said, you can't have the service. So they said, the largest network in Argentina will allow you to go live nationwide tonight. They gave me the largest network, like a CBS or ABC. Secular. They had me do a healing service live on the largest secular network in Argentina. And then I announced, I said, I'll be tomorrow night at the stadium. It still rained. It was terrible. The rain just didn't stop. But they were able to cover the wires and do all that. The next night, 4,000 in the choir behind me, all dressed in white, singing How Great Thou Art in Spanish. They gave balloons to everybody in the stadium. When I walked on the platform, the balloons were let loose. The rain coming down and the balloons going up, with people singing Mi Corazón Entona La Canción, How Great Thou Art. It was such a moment I'll never forget. And then they brought a little child up in the mud. He was covered with mud, crippled. Couldn't walk at all. He was crippled. On the floor before our eyes, God straightened his body. With us all watching, screaming and crying, the Lord began to stretch his legs like pieces of rubber. Nobody touching him. Jim Sonero saw it. Cheryl saw it. I saw it. David saw it. And everybody else who was there. The preachers were screaming as God was stretching that boy's body into perfection. And that kid stood up and ran down to his seat. Or Venezuela. Dear God. Whoa. That was awesome. This girl crippled from the waist down after having given birth to a little girl 2 years prior. The doctor somehow didn't do whatever they were supposed to, and they gave her a shot in her spine and crippled her body. My brother Henry, with 100,000 people there, goes way to the back. Nobody could see what's going on because it was dark. And said to the Lord, he laid hands on this girl who was crippled. Lord, if you're still with me, heal her. That's what he said to God. And the power of God hit that girl. She came up running, screaming. The place went nuts when they saw her. That miracle was shown to the president of Venezuela, Chavez himself, who wept and cried when he saw that. As communist as he is, even a communist will cry if they see the power of God. And there he is crying, watching it. God is my witness. Jim is my witness. Cheryl is my witness, and others. I was invited to hold a crusade the second time in the military compound. Isn't that what you call it? In Caracas, where generals, I mean military men, were on the platform. How many of them showed up? Dear God. Hundreds of them, all dressed in uniform. The general of the army was on the platform. When I did this, they all fell on the floor. The entire group of military men, all of them began speaking in tongues behind us. God shook that country with his power. So don't tell me about the power. I've seen it. I will never forget as long as I live the amazing miracles we saw in India. The first time, dear God, this woman comes up on the platform, a massive cancerous tumor on her body fell off her body, just fell right in front of us, splashing on the platform. You were there. You were there. There was a guy I didn't like at all on my team. He was a pain. I said, pick it up. I made him pick up that mess. It's a big, don't be mad at me. I'm just, all your prayers will not change the way I am. I like the way I am. But anyways, this tumor just hit the floor, splashed everywhere. The blind, the deaf, we've seen healed by the multitudes. Now listen, it's going to happen again in bigger ways with more power. Lift your hands, say more power.
More power.
Say it again.
More power.
Greater power.
Power.
Greater than ever. In
Jesus' name.
Now, all that is going to begin, keep my mic hot, brother. All that will begin after the death of Billy Graham. Just remember I told you that, all right? Now, let's talk about the glory of God. I want you to understand that the glory of God is Him. He's the person. The glory of God is not an atmosphere. The glory of God is not some feeling. The glory of God is a person. The Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ is the glory of God in the flesh. He is the express image of God's glory. Therefore, the glory of God is Himself. Now, when we talk about the glory, we are talking about the person of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now, you must understand, and this is what the church needs today, we must understand the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, as it is with the Father and the Son, is a person. Let me help you understand. Angels are not persons, because an angel has no soul. Are they not ministering spirits? The Bible says. Therefore, an angel cannot be called a person. He has no capacity for emotion. He has no soul. An angel is not able to love or receive love. No angel ever looked up and said, "I love you, Lord." They have no capacity. No angel has ever looked up at God and said, "I worship you." They have no capacity even to worship. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy." But worship belongs only to the redeemed. Angels do not, I know this is going to shock you, angels have no capacity to even know God. All they know about him is by watching his dealings with you. That's Ephesians 3 verse 10. It says, "To the intent now unto the principalities and powers might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So therefore, angels know nothing about God except what they see him do with you. The only creature made to understand God is you, because only you were created in his image and likeness to understand him. Revelation doesn't belong to the angels, because if they were able to receive revelation, they would not, they, the evil angels, or Satan, who is an angel himself, would not have crucified the Lord. For it says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, know what? Satan can read the Bible, but never understand it, because it's revealed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reveals it only to the redeemed. The only person on, the only people on earth or in the universe that can understand the Bible is you. No unbeliever can, no angel can. It belongs to the redeemed. And everything the angels know about God, they discover through his dealings with you. They watch how he deals with you and learn. Even salvation, they don't understand salvation. Why? They have no soul. And since they have no soul, they have no intellect. I know this is some new stuff for you. Check me out in the Bible. What is your soul? Your soul is what you think, what you feel, and what you want. That's your soul. Intellect, will, emotions. Now, there's still a mystery about the angelic, in that they do have a will. But we'll leave that aside for now. But they do not have the capacity to feel, to love, or even to hate. God Almighty is not an angel. He is a person. Say, God the Father is a person. Yeah. Now, God the Son is a person too, completely. So we must understand the difference here between God the Son and the angelic. God the Son is a person, and he's the only member of the Trinity who became flesh. Eternally, he is the Word. And the name Jesus was given to him when he became flesh. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that was the greatest discovery to my life. Because the minute I discovered he's a person, I began to treat him like one. That's what changed my life. Because if you don't see someone as a person, you do not treat them like a person. But the minute you see them as a person, you treat them as a person. And the minute you treat the Spirit of God as a person, He'll talk back to you. He'll respond. I began to discover that the Holy Spirit has the capacity to love, to hate, to feel, to grieve, to be wounded, to be resisted, and much more. He's a person. Now, when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the person of God. He is the glory. The glory is not some atmosphere or feeling or something. It's someone. Now, that glory is what you received in your heart when you were saved. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within you. Jesus said in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter that He might abide with you forever. Listen carefully now. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see or know. And then He said, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's marvelous. The Holy Spirit comes first to dwell with you. Then He comes to dwell in you. Now, I'll talk about something later, but first let's talk about that. The Holy Spirit came to convict me of sin. It was, I believe, 1969 when I began to experience the convicting of the Spirit, even though I didn't understand it. I was saved February 14, 7:50 in the morning, 1972. That's when the Spirit of the Lord came into my heart. But looking back, now I can see His hand guiding my life beginning at 1969. I began to understand that the Spirit of the Lord, like Jesus said, comes to be with us first to convict us. And He comes to be with you. Because how could you come to Christ unless He's there guiding you? How can you know the power of the blood unless He reveals that? How can you believe the Scripture unless He gives you that faith to believe for salvation? Who drew you to the cross but the Holy Spirit? That happened before salvation. And let me add, the Holy Spirit remains with us after salvation, and Jesus said, forever. So forever, we have someone with us, not only convicting us, but He is a companion to us. Please hear me. He is with us not only to convict. He is with us to guide, to lead, to be a companion, to be a friend. Well, I did not know any of this when I was saved. Then I was born again in 72. At that moment, the same Holy Spirit who had been there guiding, leading, convicting, came into my heart. Now it's been many, many years. I've learned a lot. What I'm giving you tonight in a few minutes took me years to learn. That the glory of God is a person. And His name is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of glory. And I've said this so many times, and please, nobody move when I'm teaching the word. I don't care who you are. Sir, I'm talking to you who just went up. I don't care if you're an usher. Don't move. This is the word of God I'm giving. Now, precious people, The person of the Holy Spirit is in your heart. And I've asked people around the world, I said, who's in your heart? They say, Jesus. I said, wrong. To get their attention. Of course it's Jesus. But Jesus is physically in heaven. He's seated at God's right hand. He ascended on high physically. He is seated physically. He's coming back to earth physically. Jesus hasn't left heaven yet. So who's in your heart? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. A real person with real personality. Now, God the Father is not God the Son. And God the Father is not God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father or God the Son. Therefore, it's three persons, one God. Say three persons. One God. Well, for you to understand that, look at yourself. You are a Trinity. You are a spirit. Say after me, I'm a spirit. Say after me, I am not a soul. Say it again. Say after me, I am not a body. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That's it. That's who you are. You're not a soul. You have a soul. You're not a body. You live in a body. But you're a spirit. The real you is a spirit. I said to a lady named Nora, and Jim was there when that precious lady was struggling with cancer. I said, Nora. And she opened her eyes and she went, ah. I said, you do not have cancer. And she smiled so gently. I said, your body has cancer, but not you. And she smiled and said, I know. I said, you are not sick. You will never die. Your body is sick, and your body will die. But the real Nora will live forever. She was so happy to hear me say that. So everybody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I am a Trinity. Now, is there three of you? No. There's one of you. But your body is not your soul, and your soul is not your body, and your soul is not your spirit, and your spirit is not your soul. Well, so is God. You were created in His image. Now, let's understand. We talk about the presence of the Lord. The minute you are saved, now pay attention. The minute you are saved, the presence of the Lord filled your heart. The person of the Lord is His presence. So when I say the presence, I don't mean some feeling or emotion or atmosphere. The presence is a person. Person. When you walk into the presence of the Queen of England, they actually tell you, you're coming into the presence. Well, the presence is her. The presence of God is Him. And the person who is the presence is the glory. Stephen said, I saw the glory of God, meaning I saw God Himself. This person, this glory, this presence is the one who came into your heart at salvation. The presence of God is not his power. Very important to understand that. It took me years to understand that, Pastor Bob. I've heard people say, I feel the presence of God. I've had to say, stop it. You are unbiblical to say that. People don't like it when I say that. You cannot feel the presence of God. You feel the power, of course. But people who are not mature in the spirit don't know the difference. You cannot feel the presence. You know the presence. You feel the power. And trust me, I'm a pro at that one. You feel the power. That power is so different. The power of God, which we call the anointing, is the overflow of the life of Christ. It's the overflow of his presence. I'll explain it like this. Watch me. Nobody has ever done this. Now, I don't know who this precious man is, but I'm sure he won't mind. Nobody has ever done this. Laying hands on someone and said, be saved. Why? Because salvation is a person. We cannot impart Christ. He is the presence. Nobody has ever said, receive Jesus Christ with the laying on of hands. The presence of God belongs only in your heart. You can never give it away. Never. Yet I can lay hands on this man and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Why? Healing is not a person. Healing is the power. Even though the source of all healing is the Messiah. Yet the power of God imparts his healing power. Nobody can impart salvation because salvation is a person and his name is Jesus. We cannot impart God's presence. The presence is the glory. Nobody can impart the glory. Nobody has ever said, receive the glory of God. That's impossible. Moses, in Exodus 33, verse 18, said to God, show me your glory. He didn't say, show me your power. He said, show me your glory. And the scripture says, the next chapter, Exodus 34, beginning at verse 5, it says, and the Lord descended and declared, the Lord is merciful, long-suffering. And God begins to reveal himself, his attributes, his nature, his justice. And that will by no means justify the guilty, he said. Forgiving the iniquities upon the children to the fourth generation and judging them. Revealing not only his nature, his very justice. That's his glory. If you understand what I've said so far, say yes. Yes. So the glory of God is his presence. The glory of God is his attributes. The glory of God is his nature. And the glory of God is his justice. Don't you remember what it says in Psalm 103, verse 7? He made his ways known unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. God's power was revealed to Israel. God's glory was revealed to Moses. Now, the glory of God is in your heart. All of you, touch yourself and say, this is his house. Say it again. Say, the Holy Spirit dwells in this house. My body is the temple of the person of the Holy Spirit. Say it again. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Very, 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 very clearly. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit, dwells in your body. Now, the minute he came in at salvation, and he hasn't left your spirit. In fact, your spirit and him have become one. Don't you remember in Corinthians it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So say after me, my spirit and the Lord is one. Say, the Lord and my spirit is one. We are not two, we are one. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? I in them, they in me, that they might be made perfect in one. Now that's the oneness of the new birth experience. And I think you should give the Lord a mighty hand for doing that. The Christian life is in Christ. All of you say after me, when I got saved, Jesus came into my heart. Now watch this, watch this. We begin the Christian life with Christ in me. That's how we all begin. But that's not where we stop. Because as we begin to walk the Christian walk, then we come to the place where it's not just Christ in me, it's I in Christ. If we stay in that place by the Holy Spirit, that's where the flesh dies. That's where victory is ours, completely ours. Now that is our destination. And the day is going to come when we will understand that completely and fully, for when we shall see him, we shall be completely like him and be as he is. Today, by promise, we're there. You must understand what I just said, because when God spoke it, it happened. It happened. The Bible says that Jesus, by the way, can you go a little deeper? Can you go a little deeper? Can you handle a little more? Lift your hands and ask God, just give me a little more, Lord. All right, now, when God the Father, the scripture says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Therefore, when God spoke it, it happened instantly. Then in history, what already had happened was fulfilled in the natural. Therefore, Jesus was crucified in the heart of the Father first. He was crucified in the heart of the Father first before the foundation of the world. Before God ever created angels or humans or the world or universe, the universe. God spoke the crucifixion. So when God asked Israel for the blood of animals, he did not see the blood of animals. He saw the blood of his son shed already in his heart. And that's why he accepted the blood of animals. That's marvelous. God spoke you into existence before the foundation of the world and chose you as his own. You were saved when God spoke your name. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him, not outside him. In him. Therefore, at that moment, God literally wrote your name in the book of life. The book of life was completely finished before God ever created anything. Before he created angels, the world, the planets, the stars, the moon, the heavens, angels, and so forth. You were already in the book of life, done, sealed, and delivered. That salvation is called the eternal covenant. I don't want to mess you up now and take you so deep you won't be able to even get out. But my point is quite simple. When God spoke it, it happened. Now, God Almighty spoke your salvation into being way before you came along and declared that you would be just like him completely. The day came in history that you got to know the Lord. He came into your heart. His glory filled your heart. His presence filled your heart. I have news for you. From that moment, Pastor Bob, when were you saved? What day? What year? When did Jesus come into your heart? Probably as a child. Now, forever and forever and forever, the presence of God will not leave your heart. For the Bible says he abides forever. Say forever. Say Jesus does not come and go. He's in my heart forever. He's been there ever since I got saved. Now watch, this is the beauty here. Now watch this. Oh, I like this so much. The presence of the Lord cannot be felt because the presence of the Lord is within you. Now the presence of the Lord can be known. You can know the presence. Don't you remember? Psalm 46:10, be still and know I am God. Well, how does that happen? When we worship, when we are still, when we pray in quietness, when we read the scriptures with such beauty, at that moment, something happens to us unknowingly. The precious person of the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us. And suddenly, he becomes more real to us than us. He becomes more real to you than you. And the minute he becomes real, you become very, very quiet. Because in the presence of the Lord, nobody can scream. Nobody can run around like a madman. Nobody can even talk. The minute the presence of Jesus becomes real, suddenly people begin to cry. Why? Because they experience him and his presence to the place they can't even talk. Tears become their language, and change happens instantly. That's when the flesh dies. That's what happened to Moses in Exodus 34:29. It says this. When Moses was in the presence of God, here's what it says. He wist not that his face shone. That blesses me every time I think about it. When Moses was in the presence of God, he lost sight of himself. Back in 1973, December, when I met the precious person of the Holy Spirit, I spent a whole year in his presence. God is my witness. 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I would still be worshiping, not realizing it's 3 in the morning. I lost sight of myself. I lost sight of the time. I lost sight of my body. I lost sight of everything. God is my witness. I did not even sleep and did not feel it. Because in the presence of the Lord, the flesh is dead. He wished not his face shone. Do you remember what happened to Adam? As long as God's presence was there, he did not even know he was naked. The minute the glory left, oh, he discovered himself. Let me tell you something about the presence of Jesus. When the presence of Jesus is real, the flesh is canceled. His presence cancels your presence. His presence literally cancels everything about you. Maggie Hartner worked with Catherine Kuhlman, and they were having a beautiful Sunday morning service at the Stambaugh Auditorium in Youngstown. It was communion, Easter Sunday. And Maggie Hartner had an enemy in church who she did not like at all, a lady who was not too nice to her. And after communion, she saw her in the lobby, and she said, "Good morning. You look so good today. Oh, that's a beautiful dress you're wearing." So Catherine Kuhlman happened to show up, and she saw how nice she was to her enemy. And Catherine said, "I thought you did not like the woman." She said, "It's amazing how you can love your enemies when Jesus is real to you." When Jesus becomes real, that's when you can love your enemies. When Jesus is real, that's when you can forgive your enemies. Nobody can forgive when the presence of God is absent. The presence of the Lord becomes real when you worship, when you pray, and read the scripture. I'll prove it to you. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to heaven just for a minute. No music, please. Just see him for a minute. And just sing along with me as we worship. Hallelujah. That's right. See him there at God's right hand. Presence is already becoming real to you. Hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Spirit is so real here. Your hand, just breathe it in. Hallelujah. It's marvelous. It's not by might, it is not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Now, if I should let you continue, you'll forget all about yourself, all about who's next to you, all about your pain, all about your troubles. Just whisper his name. How many understand what I just did? Put your hands up high. That's the presence of the Lord. It's not his power, his presence. His power is found in his presence. Habakkuk 3, verse 4, Verse 4 says, and there was the hiding of his power. Habakkuk saw the glory of God. Habakkuk saw his glory. And then he said these words, and there was the hiding of his power. Now for just a minute, look at me, all of you, and listen. We're going to continue to worship in a few minutes. We must. Stay with me. Take your seat, darling. Thank you. How many of you want to discover the power of God now? Put your hands up high. You already have the presence. It's in your heart. The presence of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is forever, but not His power. His power comes for service. His power comes for a reason and a season. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not in you, not with you, upon you. He's with you, He's in you, that's the presence. He's upon you, that's the power. That's Acts 1:8. In just a few minutes, I'm going to get up to this platform or stand here. In the next 7 to 8 minutes, the power of God is going to come on me. His presence is here already in our hearts, manifested as we worshiped. But there's one thing I do, and I don't know how to tell you how to do this. I cannot teach it. It's something that the Holy Spirit can give and only He can give. I can surrender like that. I can literally surrender to the Lord in a split second. I was in Manaus, Brazil. 200,000 people there. I was having a fight with my son on the phone. He was 14 years old. I was very angry with him. John Wilson looked at me and said, how can you minister now? I said, watch me. I hung the phone up. I walked up on the platform in front of 200,000 people. Within minutes, I was completely surrendered. The power of God hit. People were getting healed. People were getting saved. I was a different Benny Hinn till I walked off the platform, got on the phone, and began to fight again. And John said, how do you do this? I said, it's very easy. The man you saw under the anointing is Benny Hinn, the man of God. The man you see now is Benny Hinn, the man. I said, there's two of us. There's one whom God is using, and there's one that God is not using. The man has to surrender to become the man of God. How many understand that? Say yes. I have learned how to surrender, Jerry. That's it. I used to watch Miss Coogan. I would sit in the choir and watch her with John Arnott, you know, dear Johnny up in Toronto. I'd say, just watch her, Johnny, just watch her, just watch her. She'd go on for 2 hours talking about nothing, people falling asleep everywhere, and she would go on talking about her dad and her mom and her hair and this and this and that. But there'll be a moment where she just surrendered. And the second she surrendered, the power hit the whole place. It's all about surrender. You just have to learn to surrender. But you cannot surrender. Listen to this. This is the key. You cannot surrender until He's real to you. Because you do not surrender to nothing. You surrender to a person. When Jesus becomes real to me, here's what I do. Feedback, no feedback. I'm going to stay down here. The minute I'm ready to surrender, I do this. Cheryl knows this. She watches my hand because These people have been with me for so long. The minute I surrender, I do this. And she plays. And the staff knows he's ready to walk in. And when I walk in, the miracles begin just like this. The power is released when I surrender. Surrendering to the Lord is so easy. Because when His presence is real, it's so easy to surrender. And the power is what you feel. The power is what you can literally release. The power can increase or decrease. The presence cannot. The presence is always at full capacity. And the power is dependent on faith, while the presence is not. The power can be received for the asking. Tonight, all you have to do to receive His power is simply ask for it. That's all. Why don't you lift your hands right now and ask for it? He wants to give you that power. You have the legal right to receive it. You're already a Christian. Ye shall receive power. Everyone stand, please. Everyone stand. Everyone stand. When that mighty power begins to flow, that's when people are healed in their bodies. That's when we receive deliverance from sickness. I'm going to give you a secret to just solve here. Cheryl, real soft. Can I tell you a secret I discovered? It is the presence of the Lord that breaks the power of sin. It is the power of the Lord that breaks the power of sickness. I've discovered that. Sickness is broken when the power is there. Sin is broken when the presence is real. It's that simple. The presence of God causes me to be, and the power causes me to do. It's just that simple. And the power of God comes on you as long as you minister. Then when you are done, it lifts. Now lift your hands and let's worship Him. Agnus Dei, please. Every eye closed. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Lift your voices as you love Him now. Sing it, choir. Yeah. To the Lamb, for you're glorious and worthy. And glory,
glory,
lift your voices, saints. Glory. Glory to the Lamb. Use a microphone behind me, please. Just the people singing. And glory. We worship you. Unto you we lift our voice, He's the Savior of my soul. His name, Jesus. Lift your hands everywhere. He's the Savior of my Jesus. My Jesus. He Lift your voices, saints. Jesus. And he touched me. There's power in that mighty name, Jesus. Jesus. I give you my body, I give you my life, my mind, my name.
Jesus.
Sake of glory. Because of your love. See that I so amazed by Jesus, so greatly amazed. His name is there's none like you anywhere. So perfect, so holy, so kind and merciful, so tender and so precious. He is the Savior of. Thank you. So great is your mighty presence. So great is your mercy. So abundant is your great mercy. We know so clearly, we understand. We don't deserve it. Not one of us deserves your mercy. Not one of us deserves your favor. Not one of us deserves to be looked upon with favor. Your mercy. And I fully do not understand it, Lord. I do not understand it. Who can really understand your mercy? Who can really understand your mercy? So gracious, so loving. Shh. Lift your hands to Him. Hallelujah. We stand in the presence of a holy God. And I surrender. I give you afresh my body. I give you afresh my mind. I give you afresh my soul. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The same tune, Holy Spirit. Holy. So real is His precious presence. Jim, come with me, Jim. Leave your mic here. Come with me. So real is the presence of the Lord right now. So real is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So real. So real is His mighty presence. Presence of the Holy Spirit here. Once again, Holy Spirit. Those of you sick in body, place your hand on that sickness. As I pray, God is going to heal that body of yours. Precious Jesus, your word declares He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with His stripes we are healed. Heal your people tonight. Remove that sickness from that body. In Jesus' name. Holy. Just once again, hallelujah. Help me with the choir, Jim. Let that same resurrection power that raised your Son from the dead flow through that sick body now. I rebuke that sickness. And I command that spirit of infirmity to leave in Jesus' name. Let your glorious resurrection power flow through that sick body, bringing healing and restoration to that life and body. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands, receive your healing. God's mighty power is so real here. Stomach cancer has just been healed just a second ago. Somebody's ears have popped open just a second ago. Everyone, lift your voices, pray in the Holy Ghost while the choir keeps worshiping. Arthritis in someone's neck has just been healed. Arthritis in the lower back has just been healed. Glaucoma has just been healed. A tumor has disappeared under someone's arm. Someone's left hip has been healed of pain. Someone's hip completely healed by the power of God. Pick up that leg, you'll find the pain is gone. An infection in someone's lungs has just been healed. That infection in the lungs is just now being healed. Many of you feel electricity on your body. Many of you feel like heat all over your body.